live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable. Nico is on fire.
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP. You're hanging with Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who is now a self-proclaimed master of the Red Mana and Magic the Gathering arena, me, James Campbell.
You went the path of evil. You went down the path of red.
I'm down the path of goblins, dragons, and
personally,
big balls of fire.
If you've actually played Magic the Gathering, you know that blue is the true road of evil. People just constantly counterspelling you left and right. It's no
blue
fun.
Is one of the most annoying manas to go against.
Exactly. That's
every
why they're
time,
the evil.
Every time I cast a creature, they either send it back to my hand or straight to my graveyard.
We'll see. Pretty soon, even though they just canceled it, you're going to go pro in Magic. I have a feeling, James.
They canceled pro Magic?
They canceled
Magic?
Pro
I've been
Magic.
Practicing so hard. Why'd they cancel it? No! Ranked play is a fairly common basic gaming mode for most competitive games. But would you pay to participate in a ranked play? We'll tell you which popular esport game is going pay to play in an effort to curb cheaters coming up in a bit. Because we'll kick things off with the return of DMCA takedowns to Twitch. More big-name streamers have been hit by DMCA takedowns. What are they exactly? And how to prevent them from affecting your content creation? We'll get us started. We've spoken about DMCA takedowns in the past. As a reminder, they are essentially when a website or website owner takes down video or content that contains copyrighted infringing content. When a Twitch or YouTube video gets taken down because a song or a portion of a song is being used without permission, that is exactly what a DMCA takedown is. Now, it seems Twitch has been hit again with a flood of DMCA takedowns. Weirdbeard, what's going on here?
So, we've talked about DMCAs a few times now. They seem to always be brought up when there's like a wave of them going out, right? Like, this is a problem that's always behind the curtains, you know, of streaming. And it's where big music companies are essentially sending out cease and desist to people if you play like 10 seconds of a clip of a song.
Yeah, the Drake song. Don't be playing it on your stream.
Even if you're walking around and streaming out in the world and somebody drives by playing that song, if it's on your stream,
you can get hit for that. There was actually a streamer when this first became a big thing. One of their alerts was they sort of did their own parody remix of a song, I think from like a cartoon, and they got hit with a DMCA.
Really?
Because it sounded so similar.
Ah.
And it's really like what's we've seen now is not only did a new wave of DMCAs go out, forcing content creator Nick Merckx to have to delete every single thing that he has on his channel for the second time, might
wow.
I add. But they even made such a big boo-boo because after the last backlash that happened at the end of last year over the DMCAs, Twitch put out this thing that they called it was a safeguard called Soundtrack. And it's like a service that essentially had music on there that said, hey, you can use this in your streams. You're allowed to be able to do that.
This is DMCA-free music.
Well, now we have a creator who's a poker streamer named Kevin Martin. He was flagged for two DMCA strikes after playing music from Soundtrack, the thing Twitch gave
them. You're kidding me.
And was like, hey, this doesn't seem too right.
So this is the email I received this morning. Kevin Martin, you have two copyright strikes. If you accumulate a third, your account will be terminated. Your account will be terminated. Wow. Everything I've built up is just in the balance here. Two strikes. It's baseball rule. One more fastball from Jimmy Johnson, a left-handed slide, and you're out of here. I can't believe no contact at all. They just sent this, and they gave it to streamers, and this is how they advertised it. A rights-cleared music tool designed for Twitch creators.
So they literally dinged him for using the service that they set up, saying, hey, you can use this.
Now, actually, I think here's the problem is Twitch isn't the one issuing these takedowns to people, right? It's the owners of these songs. So what probably happened, because they use automated systems to do this, is whoever owns one of those songs on there, that company probably has little automated bots, you know, that's combing through Twitch archives, through VODs, hears something of theirs, and just assumes, oh, that's one of ours, we didn't give you permission for it, even though maybe one or two of their songs, you know, has in some way been cleared by Twitch, but obviously it's not enough. You know who doesn't have to worry about this problem? Facebook gaming.
Yep.
TikTok. They've actually worked out deals where creators can use music without having to worry about this. I don't understand how Twitch is the only platform that's having these issues.
That's a very good question. So, do we know
Facebook, TikTok? Are they paying royalties to labels similar to like radio stations?
Facebook did a big deal because they essentially made it to where, similar to the YouTube style, right, where you can strike and get the copyright, and if you do that, you're able to take some of the money that they would have given to you instead. But Twitch just essentially has refused to cut the deal.
Apparently, Twitch has said they've tried working out a deal, but I guess they're not coming to an agreement at this point. Amazon probably just doesn't want to fork over the amount of money necessary to make it happen.
It probably sounds like they just don't want to pay the Piper.
Exactly.
Time is up. Oh my God.
Checkpoint XP's Close Shave. Watch it at checkpointxp.com.
The ALGS was in full swing all week with both the North American teams and the European trying to be the best in their respective regions. With the best of the best teams in the world competing to see who was on top in Apex Legends, we join Gambit Esports as they clutch up and stay alive for a little bit longer in one of their group matches to try and earn more points for the team.
They are getting focused indeed. The thermites are going to hit, which is going to melt their armors. Hardeki is just going to tank it a little bit, go for that battery. But oh no, they're getting crypto ultimate, and there they go. Artico down, Gambit, Leogree down, and Hardeki no armor. He can't do anything here but get away with 1 HP, takes the portal.
And he's going to take that portal right to it. T puts in work. Oh, my goodness. Hardeki just went huge. He just pushed three members of T-Rex, caught them off guard, and was able to take out every single one of them in the 1v2. Hardeki with 5 HP, a sliver in a dream, pops off with the EVA 8.
Congratulations there to Hardeki with that clutch play, giving the Gambit Esports those extra points.
We already talked to plenty of crank callers, but we want to talk to you now. 1-833-557-0974. And we promise not to charge you long distance unless you leave a funny voicemail.
Lionsgate, the movie studio behind the live-action Borderlands movie, released some images of the main characters included in the film. Now, this made the gamers on the internet go nuts. Robbie, what are they saying?
Yeah, so I know a lot of people have pretty much already made up their mind about the Borderlands movie, and I can't blame them. Obviously, you know, in the past, video game movies have not done well. However, in the past few years, we have actually had some decent video game media. Sonic, Rampage, Tomb Raider was okay, The Witcher. So good video game stuff can be made now. I think it's disingenuous to immediately write it off.
No, However, hold on. The conversation always for every video game movie is just, it's okay. Like, you literally have to couch it.
We have definitely came from, it's terrible. Do you remember Uwe Boll? Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Blood Rain? Far Cry? No, video game movies were bad. So if we can get to okay, I'll take
it. All those past games were made into movies?
Yes.
Oh, I don't even remember them.
Dead or Alive? Don't watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't watch it.
Max Payne.
Woo! So, looking at Borderlands, the movie stills, like they're not even really stills. They're basically just silhouettes of the characters on stairs, and they look pretty decent. The only two things that bother me is A, that Kevin Hart looks like a mini version of Roland, which we all knew that he would. Use movie magic, right? We all know that you can make, look, if you can make Tom Cruise look like he's 6 foot when he's really like 5'2".
Yeah, dude, Kevin Hart some drywall stills.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, there's no amount of money you can just pay Kevin Hart to like put on stilts or big boots for a little bit.
You should be able to solve that. The only other thing that I'm worried about is the silhouette for Kate Blanchett's character, who she's playing the siren, is her hair looks like it's being made to look specifically and exactly like it did in the video game. Mm-hmm. And there's certain points. Look, Marvel movies constantly go through this. We don't actually need a perfect video game accurate representation of what they look like.
I want a very accurate handsome Jack, okay?
On the film, because it's going to look out of place. It's not a video game, right? Take some liberties to make it look a little bit more realistic. But I don't know. It's an all-star cast. They're doing an original story. They're not trying to fit, you know, a 20-hour game into a single movie. So I'm still holding on to a little bit of hope that this might be okay.
This, the only thing
Jack that... Jack Black is Claptrap. It might actually be funny.
I feel like this is going to be either a, like, Tropic Thunder, right?
Ooh, okay.
Which
it could
be. Would actually be a really good lane for it to live in.
Or it's going to be Super Mario Brothers movie extended.
No. How dare you?
Don't you slander the best first video game movie ever created. We'll talk about that a little later in the show,
I'm very... I don't know, man. Like, I've been hurt so many times. I'm a jaded soul. I don't want this to be good, because if it's good, then...
What?
Because then I think that this is just going to set off the precedent, like how we have superhero movies for everything. Not everything needs to be adapted into video games.
No, you're right.
A movie.
And the bad ones will die off and the good ones will flourish.
I think Weirdbeard just trying to lower his expectations.
He is. That's
so
exactly
that way
what he's
trying
to do.
When the movie comes out and it's better, then he can say, oh, it was so much better than I expected.
Did you not enjoy Sonic?
Listen, the only reason Sonic worked as a video game movie was because it had like almost nothing to do with the video game. Like it had a few of the
what
characters.
What are you talking about? It had Dr. Robotnik?
Which is the same reason the Super Mario Brothers movie worked.
We're talking about the new Borderlands movie after some recent still images of some of the cast members have been released. And we want to know what you think about the movie after seeing them. We got Omega joining us on the phone lines. Omega, what are your thoughts on the Borderlands movie?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Long time listener here, but I'm old. I remember the Mario movie. I remember the Double Dragon movie. I'm sure no one else does.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember the Uwe Boll movies. They all were garbage. I hope and pray to whatever celestial deity out there that this is good so we can finally have a good video game movie. But being that we just saw Mortal Kombat not too long ago, I don't think they're going to do it justice.
Mortal Kombat wasn't
the best
terrible.
I'm hope is for... It's a bad movie that I could have fun with. Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat was bad. I still had fun with it, even though my friends said it was god-awful. That's the best I'm hoping for this.
E3, or the Electronic Entertainment Expo, was about to go down as a virtual online showcase. But still not a ton of information about who or what will be presented has been released. But the experts here at Checkpoint XP have some predictions. We'll talk about E3 predictions in a bit, because coming up next... A popular esport game is going pay to play in an effort to curb cheaters. It's one of Weirdbeard's favorites. Find out which game when Checkpoint XP returns.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Stay in the loop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
With the latest in esports and video game news. And some Twitch drama.
Huge elimination on Takamura!
Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming.
Welcome back. You're listening to me, James Campbell, as well as Weirdbeard, and someone who participated in an Overwatch-themed Dungeons & Dragons one-shot with professional Overwatch players. It's Mr. Platinum, Robbie Landis.
That's right. Now, well, actually, technically, we weren't able to get any of the actual Outlaws in on it because they, you know, it was game day or game week for them. But we did it with the Lone Star Vanguard, which is a fan group for the Outlaws down in Texas, as well as Busta Duck, who is one of the official content creators for the Outlaws team. But it was a lot of fun.
Let's play a little clip of it right here.
All right, I'm going to store the payload safely here in one of these rooms. Yep, I'm going to go ahead and go first, and I'll kick the door down.
Okay.
Norris was also in that with us as well. It was actually his first time playing, so we had a lot of fun there.
So can you explain to me real quick? I know what Dungeons & Dragons is. Mm-hmm. What is an Overwatch-themed
Essentially, what they did is the Dungeon Master set up the story so that there's this Overwatch short when Echo was first introduced, one of the characters, where, you know, McCree, like, shows up in one of these shorts and, you know, Echo pops out and stuff. And it's at where this train, like, you know, sort of wrecked in Route 66. So the story was we had to protect Echo's pod on a train on its way to Route 66 that ended up sort of in a way that leads into that short.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Is there someplace online where listeners can check out the video on demand?
Yes, they can actually go over to twitch.tv/LoneStarVanguard. It's on the video on demands there.
An important change has come to Counter-Strike Global Offensive that affects what kind of content new players who dip into it for free can access. As of some new adjustments to the FPS game's free version, as opposed to CSGO played with its purchasable Prime status, new players will now have to fork out for a bunch of features they previously had access to, including ranked play. Weirdbeard, What's up with all this cash that CSGO wants now?
So CSGO has had some struggles, to put it nicely.
Are they the ones that partnered with the illegal gambling operation?
Dude, they've had so many illegal gambling stuff.
They're the one whose players are being investigated by the FBI, not just in America, but also going to jail over in Australia too, right?
That as well.
Okay.
They've also had plenty of other mishaps, but this is now one that they're doing to try to get rid of the game's image as filled with, like, cheaters, right? The game went free-to-play a while ago. It's been around for 500 bajillion years. And essentially, like, if you didn't get a VAC ban, right, which was, like, vacking, a VAC ban means that they ban your hardware, so you can't just get a new account and go on and play other stuff.
It was, prior to this, and in a way, a free-to-play game.
Yes, and so they had plenty of cheaters, and essentially what it is they are now making you pay for Prime status. Prime, as it's existed so far, is essentially something that you are verifying your account. You tie your phone number to a single account, and you say, this is my real account, I'm a real person, here you go. And that allowed you to be matched with other Prime people, hopefully saying, like, hey, you know, you're not a cheater, you verified. I'm not a cheater, I verified.
You got your four-digit code, you put it in your phone, you've got to be a real player.
So now what they're doing is they are making it so that you cannot even earn experience towards, like your side missions, like a battle pass type thing, without paying. They no longer have ranked play that you can access unless you pay for the verified Prime status. What was once a free thing is now you need to be able to pay, and they're doing it to hopefully try to cut down on how many people are cheating. They just assume that if you charge people, even if it's a small nominal amount, that they are going to be less likely to cheat.
Honey, Valve, don't you guys realize that there are people out there who actually pay to cheat? I don't know. Weird bit. You're obviously the CSGO guy. You are immersed in, like, the culture, the history. Do you think this is going to work?
So are they assuming that the people who are paying for these cheats are more than likely just going to use their cheats in the free mode, and then the people that actually really want to play the game because they love the game, for the love of the game, they're going to drop the cash and they're going to go into ranked, hopefully leaving the cheaters behind?
Yeah, but there may still be cheaters that do it, but it's like an additional... Every time you put something in the way of a cheater to make it easier for them to cheat.
One more roadblock, one more financial decision they have to make.
Exactly. Like, how much do you really care? Like, dropping $20 on some cheats? Okay. But then also having to pay for Prime status, and then also having to get a new reauthenticated phone number have to tie to the account.
I think that there are going to be people who, now that they're playing, now it means something to them, right? And you would think that means, well, I don't want to lose my account, so I'm going to stop cheating. I think this is some cheaters are going to double down. Now that you're making me pay for it, I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to climb to the top. I'm going to do everything that I have to get there.
Like, Valve themselves came out and said that over time, that the free path to Prime matchmaking has become an incentive for bad actors to hurt the experience of both new and existing players. Like, essentially what they've acknowledged is that the people that are still playing Counter-Strike will always play Counter-Strike. They're the same nerds that have played Dust 2 for 10 years at this point and don't ever want to play anything else. It's the new players that come and join the game and just have a miserable experience because it's so crappy and terrible. They don't want to... They don't want to catch up to the people that have been there for 10 years with the hackers too, so they just leave. So this is supposed to make it like, hey, newbies, we're going to make it a little bit easier for you to transition in and maybe not burn out and stay in the game.
But you're also now charging them at the door, which may dissuade some people from giving it a chance as well.
Exactly.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out in terms of curbing some of the cheaters and see how much money they actually generate.
Tons.
With this new implementation.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows, who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
As tasty as chicken nuggets are, they're still not quite as good as the prophet eBay seller Polizna just snagged for a McDonald's nugget resembling a character from the Among Us video game series. On Friday, a listing for a McDonald's Among Us-shaped nugget from BTS Meal, which was originally set at 99 cents, sold for 99,009. Let me try that again. Sold. There's a lot of nines in here. Sold for 99,997 U.S. dollars. The hefty final auction was reached after 184 bids in less than a week on the e-commerce site.
Oh my gosh, this is the potato chip that looks like Jesus all over again.
Well, the worst part is 184 bids. That means that there was 182,000 or 182 other people that after the first, couple were like, no, this is
wait,
worth
hold on.
Money.
Is that individual bids, or if
yes.
I bid three times, like
no, it's every 184 times that the bid was raised.
Right, so that could have just been two people bidding back and forth.
Who would go back 90 times and say no? It's worth more. It doesn't like, especially because it's also it came like you said in the BTS meal, which is like the K-pop band or whatever.
Okay,
so they're saying like, hey, we'll include Szechuan sauce, which is like the special limited time sauce.
Oh, that Rick and Morty made so huge.
Yes, like. They're going to send that out, but is that worth $100,000?
No, it's a piece of processed chicken and some batter. It probably doesn't even, to me, every single character from Among Us looks like a chicken nugget.
You could have sold a regular chicken nugget and said, oh no, it's Among Us.
But it has little legs.
Well, what we need to do is reach out to those people who lost the auction and be like, hey, I got some backup Among Us nugs.
I'll even give it to you for $500.
Yeah, way reduced price. Be sure to stick around for the conclusion of Nailed It and Failed It when we find out who failed it this week, coming up a little later in the next hour.
Checkpoint XP, your home for competition. Online at checkpointxp.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Also heard on Rock 102.1 in Tucson, Arizona, and now on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you all so much for being a part of the Checkpoint XP family. The following the CIS RMR event for CSGO, it's Navi, Virtuous Pro, Gambit, Spirit, and 15 total teams who want Valve to investigate Akuma after suspicions of cheating in the major qualifying event. Weirdbeard. More cheating in CSGO?
Duh, of course.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, totally.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Essentially, this team, an RMR event, is essentially what like would qualify you for the big majors, right, that are happening over in Europe right now.
Does it stand for something?
But it's just lexicon and terminology and everything. It's like the type of event that's not run by Valve. So this is not a third-party organizer like the Flashpoint Leagues that we talked about, right?
Okay.
And so this team was competing. They took third. And 14 out of the 16 other teams in that event signed a letter asking for this team to be investigated for cheating. Now, the way that it gets complicated is because they didn't record any of the voice comms for any of the teams. They didn't have any anti-cheat that was like local to their computers that they were playing on. They didn't include or record any of like their perspectives, the coaches' perspectives. Like essentially, they just ran a tournament like you would run, James, you know, for Realm Royale with your with your guys off Discord. And this is for thousands of dollars in prize money. And
well, don't worry, because now that they're paying for rank, this shouldn't happen anymore, right?
Yeah, really. Even the Russian Esports Federation looked into the Russian team Akuma, and they were like, oh, no cheating here. Nobody sees anything.
Because they were going to come out and be like, yeah, our investigation showed that, yep, sorry, guys, they were cheating. Our bad.
You even had the head coach of Navi go on to... He went on to like the way that Plat Chat exists for
onto
Overwatch
League. Big podcast.
Yeah, it's a big podcast essentially with like casters from the league. And this is what he had to say directly when asked, like, hey, do you think that there was anything fishy going on?
They were cheating like 400%.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially Sergis, you know, this guy, we analyzed a lot their demos before the match.
Okay.
So we didn't want to lose it. And the way how he actually push some positions, we knew that he would push some positions. And at the end, he pushed them, but all the time it was when we were not watching him.
Okay.
And the same was against VP.
And so, like, honestly, I just think it's crazy that they not only... like are flaming him, but their only recourse is to send that letter to Valve and be like, please Valve, will you do something about it, because otherwise it doesn't matter.
Man, 14 out of 16 teams, that's pretty damning.
Yes, exactly. Like, well,
I feel
how
like
many
it's
got
to force them to actually do the investigation. Yeah. Then it's not something they can sweep under the rug like some, I feel like, some of their past scandals.
Well, again, Virtus Pro, Navi, these are not like tier 2 orgs. These are teams that are able to compete in the largest events that happen for CSGO, and you're screwing them out of positions. Like, you bet something's hopefully going to happen with it.
Coming up, can we guess the fate of games that were previously announced at E3 but never saw the light of day? We'll find out in a little bit, because ahead next, we are just days away from the virtual E3, that's the Electronics Entertainment Expo, and it's been pretty quiet in regards to confirmed presenters, but we have some predictions of what we think we could see at the virtual event. E3 predictions next on Checkpoint XP.
The esports world continues to grow, and that includes a massive emerging collegiate space. there's going to be one place where you can come and get the latest news for college esports, and that's Checkpoint On Campus, the voice of college esports. So whether it be the latest in college COD or more, make sure you check out Checkpoint On Campus on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Checkpoint. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
XP, where sandbox, tank, and camping all have different meanings. With James, Robbie, and Weird Beard.
Welcome back. You're listening to me, James Campbell, Weird Beard, and someone who's completed the first game in the Legendary Edition remaster of Mass Effect. It's Mr. Platinum, Robbie Landis.
That's right. Finished Mass Effect 1, making my way through Mass Effect 2 now. And, you know, it's really weird. Even though I've played through these, this is probably my, I don't know, 7th or 8th, maybe 9th or 10th time playing through them. I don't know if, you know, they've added, like, cut material to the new version or not, but I feel like I'm seeing stuff that I haven't seen before, despite still taking pretty much the same path decision.
So you haven't really deviated from past choices you made in the game.
This is comfort food for him. He's looking to do the same thing.
He likes his Kraft mac and cheese from the box.
A little bit, because I am a little further ahead on like the Paragon and Renegade reputation points you can get based on if you're being like a good guy or like a badass. And so what I've started to do now is actually started, instead of just going all one side or all the other side, I've kind of started to make decisions just based on what I would do in the moment, as opposed to just being, all right, I'm a renegade, I'm gonna kill everything. I let the Rachni Queen go, for example.
Wow.
Yeah, and people were upset with me because they almost destroyed the galaxy the last time they were around.
Well, so. I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what that is either, but it sounds like Robbie Landis is playing with his heart.
Yeah.
He's really putting his heart and soul into
grown man
this
now.
Playthrough. Last year, COVID-19 shut down most industries, and the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or E3, was one of the conventions that was canceled completely. This year, they're coming back as a digital-only event, and we don't know a whole lot about what's going to happen, what we're going to be able to see, but we have predictions.
That's right. So, you know, we've talked a little bit at length about, you know, different developers and different shows. I mean, when it comes to E3, even if you're not branded as part of the E3 event, everyone is going to have some sort of digital showcase in this coming month, either, you know, showing a deeper look at games that are about to come out that we already know about, or announcing brand new games that we have never heard of before. So we're going to start with Weird Beard, but you have limited time here.
Okay.
I am watching the clock.
All right.
I want you to tell us what you think we're going to see and what you'd like to see.
These are all Nintendo.
Of course they are.
Things I'm focusing here. Switch Pro. It's trended on Twitter 50 times in the past 3 months.
I think either Forbes or Bloomberg has more or less confirmed that, yeah, we're going to see something related to a Switch Pro.
What that means, I don't know. Prediction, I think that this is going to be a year where they announce more new games as opposed to more remakes.
Are we
going to
get an in-depth look or a release date for Breath of the Wild 2?
No, but you know what we will?
People are going to riot.
You know what we will get? We will get a behind-the-scenes look at Splatoon 3.
Gross.
We're
going to
get way more of that. And I also really, really think that they're going to start putting some of the, like, I don't know, a surprise remake remaster of maybe, like, a Kirby game. Or a character that they haven't really paid a whole lot of attention
Give
to.
Give me an Ocarina of Time remake.
Yeah, they're not, they're going to just,
what
you know.
What about Mario Strikers? I feel like we haven't seen a Mario soccer game in a while.
Possibly, but the final one that I would make that I am predicting with all of my Spirit Bomb energy that I could possibly muster.
This is your last one. Make it good.
Metroid Prime 4 will be here, and it's a real game, and people actually will be able to touch it at some point.
Ooh, bold prediction.
Yes.
James, what's the one thing you would like to see that comes out of E3?
What would I like to see? I would like to see some kind of announcement of a new game that gets me excited.
Okay.
I feel like it's always the same stuff. You know, I'm kind of in that funk. It's always some kind of a weird battle royale or something. I want to see something new that's going to blow my socks off that I'm like, yes.
I'd like to see James get excited for a game the way that I was excited for Cyberpunk. I hope it doesn't break your heart the same way that Cyberpunk did, but I'd like something to come out that James just cannot shut up about. For myself, what we're probably not going to see, but I would like to see, is a confirmation or some sort of date on when we can expect the next iteration of the Final Fantasy VII Remake. But it's
yeah, how long has it been since the first part of the remake came out?
It's been a bit over a year. It came out March last year.
You think if you're remaking that game, you'd have the releases already set in place?
Yeah, you would
knock them down like domino.
Yeah. As far as a prediction goes, I think this might be a little bold as well, but I think that from Bethesda, I think we might get more of a teaser for the next Elder Scrolls game.
Oh, yeah. Let's see some dragons.
Yep.
We're not seeing enough dragons from the Elder Scrolls. We need more dragons.
I need more.
Weirdbeard needs more dragons. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're just talking about predictions for what we could see at the virtual E3 showcase this year. One thing that E3 is doing that we know for sure is they're actually holding an award ceremony. And we didn't want to let E3 or the Electronic Entertainment Expo have all the fun. So let me introduce to you the master of ceremonies for the Checkpoint 2020 Awards. It's Mr. Platinum, Robbie Landis.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, because everyone knows the next thing that we need is another video game award show. Thank you. So going around the room here for 2020, we're going to start right at the top. Best game of 2020, Weirdbeard.
I don't know. I feel like the best game would have been Cyberpunk if it didn't choke as hard as it did. I might go... Doom Eternal.
All right, Doom Eternal.
I love Doom Eternal. It was so good. I don't know, man. Like,
wow, lots of conviction behind that one there. James, best game of 2020.
Well, the best game of 2020 that I played was probably going to be Streets of Rage 4.
Not a bad one.
It's
good
an actual game I put
game.
a lot of time into. It was a great remake. I loved the soundtrack. They had some very intriguing female characters in there.
All right.
Why didn't I pick... Oh, my God, I didn't even pick the best game, Hades, that won a million awards.
Nope, it's too late. You already voted for your game. For myself, I am going to go with Cyberpunk 2077, because despite having such a colossal failure over launch, it still made buku bucks. All right, next up, biggest wasted potential.
Ding, ding, let me go first.
Okay.
James.
For me, I'm going to say Cyberpunk 2077.
That's not a bad
all
one.
All that hype and one big Raspberry release.
Yep. For me, I'm going to go for a game that I did enjoy playing, but definitely did not live up to the hype that we thought or the potential that it should have had, and that is Marvel's Avengers.
That was going to be my game of the year, and then it just didn't happen.
It did not happen.
That's another big
point.
What's your wasted potential?
I'm going to go with the one that a lot of people would pick, but I probably wouldn't pick or agree with most of the people that would pick this one. The Last of Us Part 2. I thought Last of Us Part 2 was an okay game. It wasn't the game that I wanted. I was just way too hyped for it.
All right. And then finally, for a new award category here on the first ever Checkpoint 2020 award show, give me a sequel now. Weirdbeard.
Ghost of Tsushima. I want another one, except make it easier for me. It's the only reason it's not my game of the year. I can't beat it.
It's too hard for you?
Wait, I'm not a Dark Souls type guy.
I don't even know if it's a Dark Souls-ian game. My girlfriend Katie's playing through it, and she's having like no trouble with it whatsoever. James, give me a sequel now. What game?
Okay, well, I haven't really played it, but just judging from the hype and from all the good things I've heard about it, the Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man, is it Miles Morales?
Yeah.
I think we should see some kind of a follow-up to that, just based strictly alone on my Spider-Man fandom and the fact that I've heard so much good stuff about the game. Give me the sequel.
All right, and then finally for me, Final Fantasy VII Remake. We want the next game. We don't want this intergrade stuff that you're putting in the middle
of it.
A character that nobody even cared about before this came out anyway. Give us Final Fantasy Remake Part 2 and give it to us now, Square Enix. That's been it for the Checkpoint Awards. We'll see you next year, guys, right around the same E3 time.
Yay! Can't wait till next year! Ooh, that Robbie Landis, he's so handsome! We're almost halfway through 2021. Some highly anticipated releases have been pushed back, while a few new titles have been given release dates. Checkpoint XP has your gaming update when we return.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The League of Legends Summer Split is scheduled to kick off on Friday, June the 4th, and run through the end of August. Winning here will be the next step in qualifying for the World Championships. The next major Overwatch tournament will be the June Joust. That tournament is set to wrap up on June the 13th, after which teams will have a week off before getting back into it. In professional Counter-Strike, all eyes are turning towards IEM Summer. The $250,000 tournament will be held in Europe and welcome 16 of the world's best to compete. The tournament will be running through June 13th. Valve has announced the return of the International this year. The 10th iteration of the event will take place in August and will once again break the record for the largest prize pool in esports with over $40 million on the line. EVO is back in action this year, and all eyes will be on Las Vegas as the biggest fighting game tournament in the world kicks off. That'll be held over two weekends this year, August 6th through the 8th and the 13th through the 15th. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's over at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back. You're listening to Mr. Platinum, Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and someone who has successfully slayed not one, but three sea serpents in the lands of Valheim, me. James Campbell.
Wow.
You're a man amongst men at this
point. Well, I had help.
I'm sure the Manthong Mafia was there to back you up.
Absolutely, they did. It's a particular sect of my community known as the Beefcake Boys. These guys rule the land of Valheim. They actually crafted a boat, and I always have to charter their boat out to go on my little adventures, and they helped me slay three sea serpents so I could then craft the serpent shield.
Is that worth it?
Hell yeah, it is.
Okay, cool. I support you and
you. You want to walk around with a shield made of sea serpent scales, Weird Beard, or do you want to walk around with a wooden little circle wheels shield?
This sounds like getting made fun of in middle school for wearing, like, wax shoes.
Well, if you don't have the name brand Nikes, you don't count.
Yeah.
I got the name brand Nikes in Valheim. 2021 is almost halfway over, and some anticipated releases have unfortunately been pushed back, all while a few new titles have been given actual release dates. Just in case you haven't heard the news, we're getting you up to date.
Yeah, that's right. So we actually have a handful of stuff coming out. It'll be up to you guys to decide if this is good, if this is bad news. But the first one, Gran Turismo 7, was actually supposed to be out in the second half of 2021. But as of right now, we don't have any news of even a release date yet. And rumors now are that part of the delay is because it's actually being ported backwards to the PS4. Because of the PS5 shortage, they're afraid that if they released it on just the PS5, the game wouldn't do well.
Oh, I didn't even consider that, because it is so hard to get a PS5 if you have a game that you want to put out only on that system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're in for some chop.
It's such a weird thing to be like, guys, we have to put it on the PS4 now, because it ain't worth putting it out otherwise. Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn, showed off 15 minutes of gameplay this past week. And I have to say that as a fan of the game, it was amazing.
James,
it
did you
so
see,
good.
Did you see the controversy of all the like neckbeards? Or there was one in particular that was like, oh, the main character, Aloy, she just doesn't look too... She
oh,
look
is this the game that people
enough.
Were complaining that the character didn't have enough makeup on or
doesn't,
whatever?
Doesn't look feminine enough? Yeah.
I didn't realize that was this game. I don't know why people care
dumb.
That much.
So as of now, Horizon Forbidden West does still have a tentative 2021 release date, but the devs said that it's very possible that we may actually be looking at a 2022 release date. But it is both a PS5 and PS4 game, so no worries for fans who haven't been able to find one either way. Next up, we have Far Cry 6 is finally got its release date, October 7th. This is the one that features Giancarlo Esposito as the main villain. He's best known as Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. Also made a little bit of waves because Ubisoft is a company that likes to claim that their games are not political in any way, despite dealing with some very political factors.
A lot of their games usually have maybe their game... company as a whole isn't political, but I feel like there's always some sort of a political...
Well, the lead game designer actually came out and said that it is political, which
I think what they're trying to say is that with this game, we're not trying to take a stance one way or the other, which could be a little bit more believable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, we're obviously dealing with very political.
And that also could
here.
Be good marketing, because now I'm interested in knowing what is going on in this game, mm-hmm. to where they're making that statement now. Mm-hmm. Like, does it have anything to relate to things that might have happened within the last year in the country?
Oh, weird.
I believe this one's taking place in Cuba.
Okay.
Dying Light 2, a game. I played the first one, Dying Light. A great, awesome game. Finally got confirmed for a December release date. I'm still not going to put all my eggs in that basket. You know, 2021, we're still on the sort of tail end of the pandemic here, and I'm still anticipating that we could end up getting a pushback into 2022. But it's cool to see that finally, you know, they're at least putting down onto paper that it's going to be coming out soon.
This sounds like a scary one.
No, remember, Dying Light is zombies crossed with parkour.
Yeah, there is some scariness to it, definitely. And then finally, this one actually got people really in a tizzy. God of War Ragnarok, the sequel to God of War on the PS4, has been pushed back to 2022, and people are so mad about this, and I don't understand why. As of right now, guess how much they've shown us of this game?
Nothing.
The title card.
Yeah.
And you thought it was going to come out this year? Yeah. All right. The people who are mad, who are like, give us God of War. We deserve it now. You said it was coming out this year. These are the same people that are going to be complaining that it's not coming out. But when it does come out, if it did come out this year and it was another Cyberpunk fiasco, they'd have been like, what is this garbage? All right. Keep it in development until it's done. Don't release it till it's ready. Make up your damn minds.
Gaming on a budget? We've got a game for free.
$3.99!
Checkpoint XP's free game of the week.
Checkpoint XP has you covered with the free game of the week. This week's free game, Star Wars Squadron on the PlayStation Plus.
The month of June, you can get Star Wars Squadrons for free if you are subbed to PlayStation Plus.
Now, this game was like $60 6 months ago,
Yes, this is normally an expensive game. Now, James, I know that you actually got it. You played the game. Callie is along with us here, too,
yep.
Who is a Star Wars fan. Callie, did you try out Squadrons
as
well?
Yep.
So, what do you think? Free game of the week. Is this something that people should pick up if they have to pay no money towards it?
There's very few games that I would say no to that on, but absolutely. This is a game that is worth exactly $0.
At least we're in agreement then, because wowee, I still haven't got my way out of the tutorial yet. Like, I'm literally still stuck in one of the TIE fighters trying to get out of an asteroid.
Now, for you, James, was this just you don't like the game, or do you think this may have just been more like a difficulty sort of thing?
I think it was, for me, it was too difficult to try to figure out the piloting of the
ships. Well, okay, let's say what this game is. This is like if you've ever watched a Star Wars movie and you've gone, man, those are really cool, like, spaceships.
Yeah.
I want to fly that, and I want to hit the pew-pews and make it go boom.
Well, yeah, I think at some point you're actually able to actually fly the Millennium Falcon, you know?
Right. Well, like, it's a dogfighting simulator is what it is. Like, if you want it to do the old Ace Combat games, if you mm-hmm. want to do that, but instead of fighter jets, you're flying around in TIE fighters and X-Wings, Star Wars Squadrons.
Now, one of the other cool things is that with that, you're able to do online mode. So you're mm-hmm. able to play against, what's the old World War II shooters? Was that, it wasn't Battlefield, was it?
Battlefront.
Okay. Yes. So it's, you know, battle. It's
no, Battlefield.
Oh yeah, I was right the first time.
You got it. Yeah, yeah.
Battlefield. You know, where you're able to do the teams and everything and set it up and do quick plays and stuff like that. I think that this game would be interesting for not only people who like playing like, you know, flying shooters, but also if you're even tangentially interested in Star Wars. I think this fits the bill of the kind of stuff that you'd be able to sink time into.
Listen, I just want to play a game where I can do the trench run and blow up the Death Star and feel like Luke Skywalker.
See, for me, I think the biggest letdown for this is when it was first announced, you know, it sounds a lot like Rogue Squadron, the N64 game.
Yeah,
which
classic
didn't,
game.
Didn't have any like player versus player stuff. It was all just a single player campaign mode, and it was so much fun. I'm with you, James. I don't really want to be going up against other people in, you know, full like 360 space battles where I'm going to get my butt handed to me 10 out of 10
Because that's what will happen. It's like when you play Fortnite and a 10-year-old kid just comes and destroys your
entire
life.
Because they've been playing it like 24-7 and they're like savants.
Well, wait until you run into somebody with a flight stick simulator set up.
Like, yes!
Like we have a friend Zod who has the full pilot contraption
really?
And everything. Like, yo, wow. You try to dogfight with somebody that's like, yeah. Yo, let me barrel roll for real.
Yes.
No
I,
way.
Look, I just want to take down the walkers on Hoth. That's all I want to do.
And I feel like, so this game, from playing it, it's beautifully rendered. If you're a Star Wars
Gorgeous.
Fan, it is definitely worth picking up for free. Just know, I found it to be incredibly challenging. So there's your free game of the week, Star Wars Squadron, available on the PlayStation Plus. Coming up, can we guess the fate of games that were previously announced at E3, but never actually saw release? We'll find out in just a bit, because ahead next, did a crypto organization just waste $210 million trying to get into the esports world? We'll let you know when Checkpoint XP returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable.
Nico is on fire.
Oh my goodness. How does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition. Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome back. I'm James Campbell, along with Robbie Landis and someone who is ready to dominate the world of Valorant Mobile. It's Weird Beard.
I don't know if you've seen any of the gameplay for it. Like
I
what
have
it
not.
Looks like. It looks horrible, and I'm into it.
Oh, no.
Really?
Wait, what? Yeah. Horrible how, then? Just, like, graphics-wise?
It looks like PUBG Mobile. It looks like you have, like, Roblox characters that are essentially, like, running, like, you know, they just look derpy, and
I
you gotta...
the PUBG Mobile game was pretty fun.
Well, then you'll probably love
said,
Valorant Mobile.
Said people who were terrible at normal PUBG because they couldn't kill people, PUBG Mobile let you kill bots and feel good about yourself.
I do you, Robbie. Why do you care that I feel so good about myself after I kill a bot?
True.
The largest esports event in the history of Riot's first-person shooting game, Valorant, happened a little over 2 weeks ago, and we crowned the first international champion of the game. Weirdbeard, is North America finally back on top in something related to esports?
That's the biggest takeaway from Reykjavik, Iceland, with the Valorant Masters 2 tournament. It was the very first international and the very first LAN tournament, which means like an in-person tournament for Riot's game. And yes, North America's back, baby!
Yay! Woo! Go North America!
N-A.
So you had a whole bunch of, you had lots of teams from lots of different regions. You had Japan, you had Brazil, you had Europe, you had North America, you had Korea was there as well. And they were all fairly competitive. That's the biggest thing that was really interesting to watch in this is that, you know, you have these teams. I actually talked to a couple of the players about it, of like, why has Valorant taken off in Asia? And the biggest thing is that they go, yo, you're competitive in all these different teams, right? In all these different places. In CSGO, China and Japan are not competitive, right? Korea is not competitive in CSGO. But in Valorant, they are. And it's because there's like abilities similar to Overwatch, and that's how they play.
Everybody that's coming into it brings some sort of experience, whether it's CSGO from North America or, you know, Overwatch from Korea. There's something in here that everyone recognizes, so they're not starting from literally the bottom.
Now, before we go into the actual breakdown of the matches, what teams won and everything like that, I want to talk about the event overall itself. So it was crazy. You had over 25 tens, hundreds, thousands. Okay. So, 25 million hours were watched of streamed content from just this tournament alone. At one point during the grand finals, they had almost 1.1 million concurrent viewers on Twitch alone. So that's not counting YouTube. That's not counting other people that are doing it. Average viewers, about 500,000 people were watching the stream at any one time.
That's a big chunk of people.
A huge chunk of people, especially for a prize pool of around $600,000. The biggest match, obviously, was the grand finals. The second biggest match was on day two when Team Liquid from Europe took on Version 1, one of the other North American teams. And that was one of the cool, interesting storylines that really showed up is North America versus Europe. At the very first time that all the North American teams took on European teams, North America came out on top. However, Team Liquid or Fnatic eventually came back and defeated Version 1 to be able to move on to the grand finals, where Sentinels eventually won it out. So, you know, like as far as how the teams performed, you had New Turn from Korea that were really, really good. Version 1, one of the North American teams, did pretty well. They didn't make it out of the lower brackets. Fnatic from Europe obviously made it to the grand finals after losing their second match. But the team that won it all was Team Sentinels. And, you know, like it was just to talk a little bit more about behind the scenes of what's happening is there was a really big press conference afterwards. This was before the deal for TENZ was announced. And, you know, he was able to come out and say, hey, I want to stick with this team. I want to know what I'm doing. Here's some of the behind the scenes after post-match coverage that we were able to bring you, that the full thing is up on our website at checkpointxp.com.
Question is for TENZ. I'm staring at a picture of a suitcase with a bunch of mice in it. Why do you bring so many and how do you choose which one to play with?
So that suitcase picture is just kind of a meme because on my stream, I have a chronic illness of constantly switching my mice or settings. So I tweeted that just for some humor, and I need some help. I don't know what mouse to stick on. Maybe I'll stick on the mouse that I used here.
And then they go, yeah, if you won a national championship or an international championship, you should probably win. I think it's just cool. Like, Robbie, is there any other esport where North America is able to be competitive, let alone win?
The only other one that I would have pointed to would be Overwatch. The San Francisco Shocker, obviously back-to-back champions. The difference is, though, especially now, is that over the past few seasons, they're even though they're a North American team, their roster has slowly been shifting more Asian-oriented.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is really cool, and it sets up for the rest of the time. Remember, Reykjavik wasn't the final event for, you know, like Valorant this year. The biggest event is Worlds at the end of the year. The winner of this tournament gets an automatic bid to be able to go on to Worlds.
So Sentinels is for sure going to Worlds.
100%.
Ticket is bought, printed, they're going.
Yes, and the thing is most people are already predicting Sentinels to be the team that wins it all. You've got Shazam, the in-game leader, who's also their coach. You have Sick, one of the most interesting flex players in the entire sport, in the entire esport. You have TENZ, who's just a mad lad fragger that's able to go through and do what he wants to. You've got Dapper, who's an amazing Sentinel player who can play Killjoy or Cypher. You're able to play with Zoms, who's a great, you know, like Omen. He'll play some Viper. It's just they have such a stacked roster. Can anybody beat them? I don't know, because they didn't even drop a single map the entire tournament.
Really?
They never lost a single thing.
What do you say in your Valorant expertise? Do you think Sentinels have what it takes to take the Worlds later in the year?
As of right now, they are the big bad guy, the big bad boss, as some people would call them. They embrace the title of being the villain of Valorant, so if they're going to lose, it's going to be a surprise to everybody.
From the high highs,
an absolute monster,
to the low lows,
there you go, four more.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
As we seem to be known for doing, keeping up with the day-to-day followings of former MVP and all of professional Overwatch, and now disgraced and suspended Valorant player Sinatra, figuring out what is going on with the former Valorant star can be a little tough sometimes. And what makes it even tougher? Watching Sinatra cry on stream after watching his former team win the first international tournament for Valorant ever, and signing the star player TENZ to a final deal with his former org. Listen as Sinatra cries over what could have been while playing on stream with his former captain and team member, Shazam.
Maybe not. I just wish people knew, man. It's so sad. It's just so sad, girl. My life.
He starts crying and just turns off his camera because he realizes,
I don't know,
like,
listening to that wasn't very tough. You ruined somebody else's life, and now your life is in the gutter because of what you did. That's how it works, man.
Well, I mean, what makes it even worse is that after the clip of him crying and being upset after he played with Shazam, Shazam comes out and says, hey, I'm sorry. I just got invited to play, and I played. It was honestly a mistake. Don't think I'm taking a stance. You know when people apologize for even being seen near you? Like, dog,
Sentinels, by the way, just officially took his picture and profile off of their organization's website as well.
Really?
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. It seems like an esports org has set a pile of $210 million right on fire. TSM have officially run into some trouble after they announced the largest deal in the history of esports. Weirdbeard, how did this happen?
So TSM announced last week that they were making $210 million for a 10-year naming rights deal with crypto exchange currency or with crypto exchange company FTX. So they were changing their name from TSM, which is Team Solo Mid, to TSM FTX, which, you know, is dumb. Nobody will
Super
ever call
dumb.
It that.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, $210 million. That's a ton of money to be able to... I mean, it's the biggest deal in esports so far. But the worst part about all of this, how they just set that pile of cash on fire, possibly, is right after they announced the deal, Riot Games came out, and the head of Riot Games, Chris Greeley, said that there were branding restrictions on certain sponsors, including cryptocurrency companies in the LCS and Valorant. So, essentially, this you know, cryptocurrency company FTX just paid $210 million to only have their name appear in like tier 2, tier 3 esports.
Yeah, yeah. TSM has teams all over the place, right? They're in Apex, they're in Rocket League, CS:GO.
Yes.
And then obviously the big ones, League of Legends and Valorant. But since Riot owns them, they're saying, sorry, you can't actually change your name in Valorant and League of Legends. You will continue to just be TSM there.
Yeah, and it's what I think it's just crazy. Like, how do you get $210 million deals and then go,
how did someone in TSM...
We're not going to run this by anybody.
Yeah, exactly. How did someone be like, hey, you know, there are rules with Riot. We should probably run it by them first.
$210 million. Don't worry about it.
Now, here's the question. Did the deal, like, was the deal already going... Like, is this a problem? Is this a TSM problem? Or is this now who's the cryptocurrency people?
FTX.
Is this an FTX problem? Because if the deals already went through, is TSM, you know, like, oh, sorry, we already got our money, but don't worry, we're going to make sure it's on our... on our Rocket League.
I have a
cars.
Feeling with $210 million in play, there's going to be some fine print that somebody's going to need to read, and we'll have a distinctive winner and loser. And I feel like some of that $210 million is going to be going right back in the pockets of the cryptocurrency company.
Possibly. So, like, the head of the CEO of TSM FTX, which is going to be a whole mouthful to say in the future, actually commented on a Reddit thread that addressed this. He said, the deal carves out name on broadcast and jersey logos on both League and Valorant, but FTX will still be sponsoring our League and Valorant players in content, social live streaming, and in-person events, which has more visibility than Riot's broadcast. Hope this clears things up. A, no, it doesn't.
So you do not get more. What he's saying is that the deal's still going through.
He says so far right now they're going to sponsor him. Like, they'll pay them to have TSM FTX on their social, like, so that on their own Twitch channels, they'll list themselves as...
Or any content creators will say it's running you.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, literally, they are not allowed to use it in broadcast. It'd be the same as, like, a deal sponsoring the Lakers without consulting the NBA first.
Right.
And then the NBA coming back and be like, what the hell are you doing?
You gotta call us McDonald's Lakers now, guys. Yeah. Get out of here.
Next up, who can guess what unreleased video games that were announced at past E3 conventions are based on their names alone? Find out next on Checkpoint XP.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Home for esports and gaming. Noobs teased, but welcomed. With James, Robbie, and Weird Beard.
Welcome back. I'm James Campbell. And with me is Robbie Landis, as well as someone else who's mega hype for the upcoming release of Mario Golf Super Rush, Weird Beard.
I am more excited for playing golf on a Mario course than I am ever playing it in real life.
Have you ever played it in real life?
like, okay, so my grandfather was really good at golf and would, like, take time to, like, try to teach me, but I was, like, 10, and I'd be like, no. And eventually he just stopped showing me. Mario Golf? I don't care. I'm already good. I can step in and play.
Are you telling me that your granddad gave up on you?
Hell yeah, he did. Wow. He was like,
that is a scathing indictment on your character.
I was like, you picked Wario. You're an idiot.
I played golf with my granddad every week until the week he died.
Aww. Yep.
My grandpa just pretended he couldn't play anymore so he wouldn't have to go out with me.
He got tired of explaining this to you.
Holy cow.
Anyways, Mario Golf Super Rush coming out June 25th. And I believe Weird Beard has a very special segment coming up a little bit later in the show that's dedicated strictly to Mario Golf Super Rush.
Called Granddad Never Loved Me.
It's time for a little friendly competition amongst us at Checkpoint XP. We have producer Callie joining us to battle against our reigning champ, Robbie Landis.
That's right.
Now, in honor of the virtual E3 showcase happening, Weird Beard will put us to the test to see who knows more about video games previously announced at past E3 conventions but never released. Weird Beard, explain how we play this one.
So they came, they stole the show, and then they disappeared. I'm going to be giving you titles of E3 games that were announced at previous E3s but were never released. They were just lost to the sands of time.
Vaporware.
Yes, and so I'm going to give you these titles. You need to try to describe the game to me based off of what the title is. If you're even in the ballpark, even kind of close,
okay,
I'll give you a point.
I'm going to blow this one.
So instead of normally starting with James, we're going to start with Callie.
Great.
Just to see where she's at today. Callie, are you ready for your first game title?
Oh, as ready as I'll ever be.
All right. And by the way, you can ask for a small hint on anything you want, but once you burn that hint, you're done for the day.
Got it.
Your title, Callie, 100 Bullets.
100 Bullets.
Man, what kind of a game is that?
The name actually sounds familiar.
I swear I remember the title card to this one. I think it was like probably 2016 or something in that area.
Sounds like a Devolver Digital game.
Yeah, so I think 100 Bullets is probably, I don't think it's like a bullet hell game, but I think it was probably a play on like a battle royale type thing in the early days of PUBG. Something of that nature. I'm going to say it was a battle royale style game.
So, Callie,
if wrong, can we steal?
No, you cannot
steal. Oh, come on. Let me try and steal.
No. So, the title, 100 Bullets, is actually super similar to Max Payne.
I was going
to
say Max Payne or Dead to Rights.
Yeah,
it's going to be a knockoff.
Announced at E3 2004. It was named one of the best games of the show, and it just never came out.
It's never happened.
It's never happened. Apparently, like, talks of reviving the concept and license have happened, but just nobody's ever done anything.
I would have guessed it would have been like that movie Guns Akimbo, where, like, every level you only have 100 bullets.
Oh, that sounds like a really
That is such
game.
A great idea in theory that in execution that game would suck.
Robbie, are you ready for your title?
Yes, I am.
Your title of a game announced at E3 that never came out is Agent. What was Agent like?
Agent.
Just A-G-E-N-T.
I am going to assume that Agent is, it's a game where you have to, it's like a sort of top-down, right? And you have to decide how to get through these levels, sort of role-playing-esque in a way, but you get different agents that you can try to get through with. Like, maybe you have one who's really brawny, you can, like, fight.
Yeah.
Maybe you have one who's more of a hacker.
Are you thinking, like XCOM-ish?
Can you, how about this? Can you give me a little bit about the where would this game take place?
It would definitely take place either in the future or you're doing some sort of, like, you know, espionage with big corporations.
I think he's on with the espionage. I think it's like a Splinter Cell type.
Oh, Rick is torn on this on whether to give the point.
Oh, it's close. I'll take half a point, Rick.
You definitely get half a point just because espionage is in the description of this game. It's a Cold War thriller that would emphasize stealth elements, very similar to a game like any of the other you know, Tom Clancy kind of Splinter Cell
like
games.
Splinter Cell. Yep. So far, I'm 2-for-2. Old. If I blow this one, I'm going to be very upset that you didn't start with me, Weird Beard.
James, up next, your title is Battle Cry.
Battle Cry. It sounds like some kind of
person who's Aborigine seen at least E3 is killing us.
Warrior, kind of like a Far Cry type game, but the character is going to take place. You're going to play some kind of a native, and you're going to go
Far Cry Primal, basically.
Robbie, hush. I was quiet when you answered yours until the very end. Yeah. Primal. Primal, like Far Cry Primal.
James, unfortunately, Battle Cry, announced at 2014, was Bethesda's answer to Team Fortress 2. In fact, Battle Cry, had it actually released, the title would have likely competed with games like Overwatch.
Wow. That was Not even close.
Not even close.
I nailed the first two.
I can see why that one didn't get released.
Yeah.
That's not a great name.
Right now, we're giving our players and contestants titles of games announced at previous E3 expos. They have to tell me what the game was like, even though it never came out, based off the title alone. Callie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your title is Deep Down.
Yeah. Deep Down.
What's Deep Down,
What's
Callie?
Deep Down?
I'm torn on whether it is... like Maneater-esque, something like that, like the precursor to Subnautica, something that competed with Subnautica, or if it is meant to be like the indie darling competing with like
if Inside Out was an indie like dark game.
Yeah, one of those like little side scroller games where you try and survive to the end of the level,
like Little Nightmares,
like a sort of comparison to that. I'm really torn on which of the two it is.
Gotta pick one.
I know. I'm going to go with the indie darling side-scroller attempt.
Unfortunately, Deep Down was Capcom's take on Dark Souls, announced at 2014. Never went anywhere. They said that it's still possibly alive somewhere in the vaults. Probably not going to come out.
No, probably not.
Capcom. Robbie,
yeah, I know.
No.
Robbie, are you ready for yours?
I'm ready.
Your title is 8 Days.
I remember this one.
I think there was a beta of this game.
Yes.
I think this game actually almost did release.
I feel like this was... I'm going to say that 8 Days is a survival horror type game with like crafting elements where you have to like try and survive for 8 days or something.
I know I don't get a point if I'm right, but I do have to just throw this out there. Is it kind of like a line art Western drawn sort of game where you have to like make decisions and try to survive like attacks?
Unfortunately, neither of you were correct.
Okay.
This was announced at 2005's E3, bumped up from a tech demo that they originally released to them saying that it's going to be a real title and a staple of Sony catalogs to show off the power of the PS3. However, it was never anywhere near a playable actual game.
So, like, so, the rest of the PS3 launch library, it
so that happened. So there's no way to answer that one because it wasn't actually a game. I had to say it was a tech demo to get that right.
It's kind of like a heisty type thing. Like
it's
you're
a heist, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, it just never really went anywhere. Right. James, are you ready for your title?
I guess.
All right. Your title is EITR.
EITR.
Yes. Eater.
Eater.
I'm going to guess this is kind of going to be like the similar to like the Bug Snacks kind of game. Or actually, no. You know what? I'm thinking it's going to be more like a side-scrolling platformer where you're some kind of a bug and you eat other creatures or things.
EITR. Yeah. You know.
that one where you're a side-scrolling bug eater.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it looks like publisher Devolver Digital had a hit on its hands before it finally dropped it. A solid action RPG combat game that was very interesting. However, just never made it out of development hell, even though it's still unofficially not canceled.
What does the EITR stand for?
It's just literally...
It's actually not... Eater. Yeah, it's actually not an acronym. That's the word. Big E, little ITR.
I don't like this game.
I don't like Eater, so it's fine.
And with that, our winner this week is...
With my half a point!
I hate that he won with a half point.
A win's a win!
I hate that he won on a half a point when I had the answer correct.
I know.
We've talked in the past about Fortnite pros being a little loose when it comes to what they say both in-game and on social media, and we have more evidence that Fortnite pros are anything but professional. Weirdbeard, tell us about this professional gamer who just got banned for life for actually threatening to kill another competitor?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is one more instance of essentially Fortnite going crazy. So we have a Fortnite pro who was banned for the rest of his life from Fortnite for threatening to murder another player outside of the game.
All right, well, first of all, good.
Yeah,
start really laying the smack down on these kids so that they realize that out in the real world, you can't get away with just saying whatever you want. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the thing that's like most amazing is that this was something that was caught on Twitter, right? This was another thing to where, you know, we talked in the past about clicks. We've talked about, you know, some of the other ways that Fortnite pros essentially will tweet some wild stuff to begin with. You now have this guy and another Twitter pro or another Fortnite player that was banned for, he had his entire team banned because
oh
he also tweeted.
Lifetime
bans? Yes, lifetime bans.
Wow.
For threatening to kill people. Like, it's two pros
oh
at the
my
same
gosh.
Time.
If you get me banned for life for something you said, we are throwing down.
Some major problems there.
Yeah, so I mean, like, we have the details up on our website at checkpointxp.com. You can go read and see the actual tweet where this guy sent it out. I don't really want to read it, you know, just because it... it kind of is not cool to, I don't know, regurgitate death threats and whatnot. But again, this is a guy who, like, Fortnite is officially slapping back. For the longest time, they would let these kids run roughshod all over them. They were able to say whatever. Fortnite was known for having pros that just, like, were 16 years old and tweeted crazy things. Now Fortnite is, like, stepping up and banning these people that are saying stuff like that. I think it's going to hopefully change.
What ages are these Fortnite pros at that are issuing these death threats?
So this paper guy, the first one that I was talking about with the death threat, he was 20, and the other kids where the team was banned were 16 and 17.
See, I can see the 16 and 17-year-olds, you know better. You know you shouldn't do it. But the 20-year-old, you're an adult.
Yeah, regardless of how you were raised, like, come on.
Yeah, like, 100%, the 20-year-old should definitely be held completely 100% responsible. The 16 to 17-year-old kids, I agree with the ban, but I feel like maybe sit them down and just give them a real strict talking to.
Yeah, it's just going to be
stern talking to.
It's
going to
be interesting to see what Epic Games does over the next couple of months, if they continue actually holding people to account, or they just, you know, have it be a blip and go back to just ignoring them.
Well, you got to hope that they do something to try to curb this from continuing to happen.
Yeah.
We had a very interesting message from a new listener in Tucson, Arizona this weekend. And you are not ready for the roller coaster ride it's going to take you on. Find out what they said in a bit, because coming up next, well, check out what's happening in the gaming news with Robbie. What do you have for us?
Well, if you can't get your hands on a PS5 or Xbox Series X or S, but you need something more powerful than your last-gen console, we have the answer for your woes.
Well, find out what it is when Checkpoint XP returns.
Listen, we know that there's a ton of video game podcasts out there, but I guarantee you, you've never heard one like this one. Checkpoint Daily is one of the only podcasts for esports and gaming coming out every single day.
One of the only ones worth listening to, anyway.
That's absolutely true. So whether we're talking about the latest developments with who Nintendo decides to sue, or the LCS, we've got the lowdown. So make sure you check us out at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back. You've got me, James Campbell, and joining me are Weird Beard and someone who chalked up another near-perfect Overwatch League prediction. It's Mr. Platinum, Robbie Landis.
Yeah, maybe for the first half of the week, and then it all went down the toilet. My pick'ems were so destroyed. We actually had a few upsets in the Overwatch League. The Atlanta Reign going the distance, actually 3-0'd former back-to-back champs, the San Francisco Shock. It's anybody's game at this point. The June Joust coming up here this weekend. We'll break in all the action for you next week, but it's going to be a circus.
Hey! Oh! The guy is unreal.
My goodness!
It's another esports gaming update with Robbie Landis on Checkpoint XP Radio.
Now, it's been around 8 months since the disaster that was Cyberpunk 2077's launch on last generation consoles, and they're still pretty terrible. If you can't get a PC or a PS5 or an Xbox Series X and S to play it, don't worry, because apparently Teslas have enough graphical horsepower to run Cyberpunk. Yes, that's right. A car is better equipped to handle Cyberpunk than your PS4 or your Xbox One.
Well, I mean, I think it's because it's Cyberpunk, like future stuff. I promise you that if Elon Musk made any game runnable on a Tesla, it would be Cyberpunk 2077.
I think you're right.
What do they have, like 1080s in there or something? Like, that's ridiculous that a car has the computing power to be able to run.
Dude, these cars have to be able to drive autopilot. Yes. They follow the lines in the road. These cars probably have a computer as powerful as something that could be operated in NASA.
Do you think that the car could play itself? Are we at the Skynet level where it would play Cyberpunk 2077 on its own, like, monitor and everything?
Well,
I'm blowing my mind right now.
Unless we are in the Matrix, no.
What if the Tesla is actually better at Cyberpunk than Robbie Landis is?
It's possible.
Impossible. Fortnite is no stranger to spectacle, and recently, in order to generate hype around their next big event, players have started to be abducted by aliens.
You're kidding.
In Fortnite. Now, Weird Beard, as the closest thing we have to a Fortnite expert, what can you tell us about this? Have you been abducted yet?
No, but my kid has, and I think that's exactly who they're trying to go after.
So what happens? I assume she told you the story, come on.
Oh my god, Rick! Oh my god, I can't believe there's an alien, and it you go up, and that's the story of how it sounded with my kid telling me. I don't know, like it literally, you just your health and shields gets restored in the game.
Oh, so they're good aliens.
Yeah, and then they dump you back down in another part of the map. I don't know.
Okay. Like, I thought maybe you get sucked up in the UFO and you got to fight your way out or something.
No, like apparently it's a foreshadow. People are saying that right now the season is called Primal. The next season they're guessing is going to be alien
theme. Oh, like the futuristic type of stuff as well.
So this is like a teaser for what's possibly coming.
Fortnite
in
space. 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 Space.
The first greatest video game movie of all time, Super Mario Brothers, has a director's cut. Now, the movie was originally released in 1993, but it turns out the film had a version with 20 extra minutes of footage, which someone found back in 2019, and through restoration and a remaster, it is now available to watch for free on the Internet Archive.
How many times have you rewatched this, Robbie?
I haven't. I went back and tried to watch it, and and not that the movie is bad.
Oh. Yes, it is.
But just the quality is terrible.
I mean, it hurts that the guy who plays Mario, which they say.
Bob Hoskins.
Yes, was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is a cinematic masterpiece.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
The actual cast of Super Mario Brothers was stacked.
John Leguizamo!
Yes!
Dennis Hopkins? The bad guy from Speed?
And did you guys know that Super Mario Brothers did what Marvel does now? They had a post-credit scene in that movie.
Really? No, I don't think I even really made it through the end of the movie.
Oh, come on! Oh, yeah, at the end, they're back, in their apartment sitting there, and it's only been like 10 minutes since they left, the Mario world or whatever, and suddenly the princess kicks down the door, and she has like a giant gun. She looks
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
They were set up for a sequel, and
they were. It's not too late.
Here's what happens if we do enough.
I mean, technically, Bob Hoskins is dead, so it's a little too late.
A little too late. If we, maybe if we get enough subscribers over on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp, we can do like a watch along or something to the extended.
We'll just do a watch along. We're just doing it.
Okay.
We're doing it, guys.
I'll do it for
doing
the subs. I'm not doing it for free.
You've no doubt seen on social media that people and corporations alike have all begun to celebrate Pride Month, but not all Pride celebrations are as inspired as others. The DC Comics fighting game Injustice missed the mark by like a lot.
A lot.
They introduced an in-game challenge where players were encouraged to fight and beat up Poison Ivy, one of the game's LGBTQIA+ characters.
Just going to say, she falls into that group.
Yeah, but maybe what it should have been, instead of, hey, everyone beat up Poison Ivy to celebrate Pride, it could have been like, everyone play as Poison Ivy and win X amount of games. It was a very bad look, one that NetherRealm Studio even came out and said, yeah, guys, we messed up. How did that get by literally
that's
anybody?
What I'm saying. Like, it's, you're in a corporation. Like, we have a lot of dumb ideas in our room, but even that gets caught with, like, two filters. How big of a company is, NetherRealm? And then so many people saw that and were like,
that's fine.
Totally cool. We'll do that.
Yeah. We talked about how last year was a record year for Nintendo, so it should come as no surprise that it was also the best year in their history in terms of profit for the Pokemon Company as well.
Wow.
Sales for the Pokemon Company alone last year hit $1.1 billion.
Wow, billions with a B.
Is Pokemon still going up? Or do you think that number is going to grow?
I mean, not necessarily unfortunately, but Pokemon just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's not something that I think that people even really grow out of.
Is Pokemon publicly traded? Because I want in on it.
I believe so. Yeah.
I got to look into that.
See about getting in on it. And they're now starting to finally diversify their games, which will only bring more people in.
Gross.
Yeah. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, you can head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We talked a little earlier about Weird Beard having a very special presentation on Mario Golf Super Rush. Hold on to your butts, because here it goes.
Mario's friends and foes are going head-to-head in the great game of golf. With easy-to-learn controls, anyone can get a nice shot.
Nice shot. Mario Golf Super Rush. Study the wind and the terrain. Think it through and then swing. Thanks to simple button controls, you can easily line up impressive shots fit for a pro golfer.
Excellent.
All right. We're going to go around the room, decide whether or not you guys are interested in picking up Super Mario Golf Rush.
Nope.
James.
Hell to the yes.
Yes.
Just the different game modes, just the Mario Golf itself. It's fun. I can't wait to hit the, whatever you call it.
The green.
The greens with the Mario crew and anybody else who wants to hit the back nine, front nine, whatever. With
James,
me.
Can you give me any ways that they score in golf? Like, you know how there's like par? Can you name anything else?
Eagle.
Ooh. He did it.
All right. Yeah. Robbie, are you going to pick up this game?
No, come on. Why are you even asking me this? You knew the answer.
Not even a try? Would you try a demo?
Fine, sure.
I don't know why you don't see this game to be fun, Robbie.
If we can turn into a drinking game, I'm in.
Well, you're going to not be able to talk to James or I for a little while because we're both going to be playing competitively with each other on the golf rush where you actually get to run down the green.
I bet I could beat both of you guys drunk anyway.
Painful.
Let's
probably
put it
not.
To the challenge. Let's put it to the challenge. We'll put them to the test when it comes out. We'll do it live on the Checkpoint XP Twitch channel. Coming up next, we had a very interesting message from a new listener in Tucson, Arizona over the weekend. And you are not ready for the roller coaster ride it's about to take you on. Find out exactly what was said when Checkpoint XP returns.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The League of Legends Summer Split is scheduled to kick off on Friday, June the 4th, and run through the end of August. Winning here will be the next step in qualifying for the World Championships. The next major Overwatch tournament will be the June Joust. That tournament is set to wrap up on June the 13th, after which teams will have a week off before getting back into it. In professional Counter-Strike, all eyes are turning towards IEM Summer. The $250,000 tournament will be held in Europe and welcome 16 of the world's best to compete. The tournament will be running through June 13th. Valve has announced the return of the International this year. The 10th iteration of the event will take place in August and will once again break the record for the largest prize pool in esports with over $40 million on the line. EVO is back in action this year, and all eyes will be on Las Vegas as the biggest fighting game tournament in the world kicks off. That'll be held over two weekends this year, August 6th through the 8th and the 13th through the 15th. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's over at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Time for the Big Brain Plays. Checkpoint XP is back on your radio with James, Robbie, and Weird Beard.
Welcome back. You're hanging with Weird Beard, Robbie Landis, and someone who was slowly starting to transition into a PC gamer.
Oh!
Me, James Gamble.
How slow of a transfer
are we talking? Hold on. Are we talking you're using mouse and keyboard?
A little bit. I've been playing with it in Valheim.
Okay.
And I've been playing Magic the Gathering Arena.
Once you get that muscle memory
Raiders.
Down...
So there's a lot of stuff that I've been playing on the PC, and I'm starting to see some advantages. So there's a lot of advantages to playing on a PC, especially when you're streaming.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more ease with setting up your streams.
You don't have to set the controller down, pick up, blah, blah, blah.
That, like, you don't have to worry about a capture card and a lot of the drama with that. But the one thing that is holding me back is the mouse and keyboard gaming. It is so hard for me to get good at.
The more you do it. It turns into muscle memory.
WASD,
and you'll never go back.
Once you learn WASD, that's all you need in life.
Well, I'm working on it, but I'm slowly starting to make that transition into PC gaming. I'm starting to see some of the positives. Now, we had a very interesting message from a new listener in Tucson, Arizona over the weekend. We've been talking about it for like the last half of the show, been teasing you, and it's finally here, the moment you've been waiting for. Hold on to your butts and hop on this roller coaster ride we're about to take you on. Robbie Landis, what did the comments say?
So this came from Tammy, who I assume listens out in Tucson, Arizona, from what I've been told.
Well, I want first to give you some context, James.
Okay.
I was sitting on my patio Sunday night at like 12:49 a.m. it is pretty late here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I get a little ding ding. Somebody commented on Checkpoint XP's Facebook page. And I was like, cool. And then I saw the first line of this comment, and I went, uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no, no,
oh,
no.
Come on.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Here we go. This is from Tammy.
And this name hasn't been disguised to protect the innocent or anything?
No, this is a real name.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready for the fire bag after the show.
Let me get this straight. It's been the era of a nerd, of the nerd for a while. And I get it. You're smart, you're funny, you're cute, etc. You've been getting all the hot chicks, too. I even get that. So you've got it all, and what do? You play a video for us to watch on the radio about the new ride we're all missing that's been elusive for anyone to enjoy. Let me be the first to say, it looked awesome. Thank you so much. It's like I was there. Keep up the good work.
Whoa!
Now we assume
what
she...
What a 180!
We assume she's talking about our coverage of the rides from Super Nintendo World.
Yeah.
We followed along to the video of it. Yeah.
We did the little ride-along
videos
and
so
all that
stuff.
Yeah,
so thank you, Tammy. We're so glad that you enjoyed the show.
That did not go the way I thought it was going to go. I'm like, she nailed me. Handsome, smart, really good at games, a total cute nerd, yes.
Well, getting 100%. All the hot chicks.
Yeah, I'm getting all the hot chicks.
The line that really got me was, the getting hot chicks where she was like...
Or let me get this straight. Like, no one starts a compliment with let me get this straight.
You've been getting all the hot chicks too, and I even get that. And I was like, oh, you that's so sarcastic. And then it's like, oh no, she actually thinks that we're cool. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. So thank you, Tammy, for listening on KFMA out in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah. Speaking of other things that weren't quite what we thought they were. so over the weekend here, Logan Paul had his match against Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Except the star of this particular show wasn't at all who we thought it was going to be. At least for me, it wasn't Logan Paul. It wasn't even Floyd either. Logan Paul came out wearing around his neck on a chain a PSA Gem Mint 10 First Edition Shadowless Foil Holographic Charizard card. That's one of three in the world that is sold for $300,000. He was wearing it.
That's how much the card on his neck was worth.
Yep.
Over $300,000.
Yep.
I love it!
He actually claims now that he's worn that card to that fight, that particular one is worth $1 million.
I believe it. I bet you him wearing that now up the value.
Unfortunately, I have to agree, as sad as it is, people who maybe didn't, because I feel like the Pokemon card craze has still very much been rooted in like the Twitch culture, right? It's
absolutely
still gamers who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's come out and it's been put on display for that sort of crowd, you know, when it comes to professional boxing pay-per-view matches, there is a whole new echelon of people with money that they don't need that has now been introduced to the idea that, yeah, you know what? Children's cards sell for that much money, and I do not doubt that there's some sports fanatic or, you know, out there who, given the chance, would sell that. And he actually said, by wearing a Charizard out to the fight and to the press conference that followed, he says, I mean, not, Logan said, I mean, now, this is $1 million card, baby. This is the card I walked out with to the Floyd Mayweather fight. This is $1 million card.
What's that around your necklace? What is that? Is that Pokemon?
This is a Pokemon card. It's a BGS10 Charizard, first edition Charizard.
Estimated value?
It's one of three in the world. It is my prized possession. Ever since I got this graded to 10, the momentum in my life has been crazy. This is my good luck charm. This is my prized possession. Estimated value, I mean, now, this is $1 million card, baby. Like, this is the card that I walked out with to Floyd Mayweather fight. This is $1 million card.
Quick context. A PSA 10 is next in line. If the BGS 10 is Eminem, the PSA 10 is Drake. They're valued between about $150,000 and $200,000, and there's only around 100 in existence on the planet. Also known as the Holy Grail of Pokemon cards.
And he basically went on to say that, yeah, eventually he's going to flip that, and it's all about just making more money for him.
James,
I'm not mad about that.
If you're walking out to a boxing sparring match,
yeah,
what item are you putting, what nerd item are you putting on a chain to wear out there?
Oh,
you?
Man, what do I have? What's the most valuable nerd thing?
Get the golden Wii that was made for Queen Elizabeth.
Perfect. That would be the perfect thing, because that's what I feel like he's doing, just like in hip-hop,
yes,
and like,
yep,
other fights and stuff. When the fighters come out, they're decked out like Mr. T with gold chains,
it's
and all
like
that stuff.
That rapper Lil Uzi Vert who got
the diamond
put in his forehead.
The Vision diamond, yeah. So Fiona on Fire, who's commonly known as the esports writer, commented on Twitter, two really rich dudes, one wearing an OnlyFans hat, the other wearing a PSA 10 Charizard around his neck, fighting an exhibition to see who will be memed more once the night is over, mm-hmm. and even more money in their bank account. This is America.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. I find it hilarious. I find it actually really cool. I want to know, what's the next big nerd item? Somebody else is going to do the same thing.
I think the Charizard card is like the go-to nerd item. That's just going to continue to rise up in price. Another Twitter user by the name of Max says, does Mayweather get to keep the Charizard if he wins?
Maybe, only if he has enough energy to be able to, you know, tap it and play it.
Yep.
Also on our social media, if you go over and check out our Twitter at Checkpoint XP, if you're interested in talking to the tall vampire lady herself, Lady Dimitrescu, did I say that correctly?
That's close enough.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. She's actually going to be joining our friends over on Checkpoint Daily, answering all of your dating advice questions. Robbie, do you think that you would want to talk to Lady D about dating advice questions? Do you think she would be a good choice for that?
Oh, I put in a question.
Oh, really?
I put in a question for her to hopefully answer.
Did you sign the question with your official name? Or did you do it anonymously?
I did it on Twitter, so it's there if they select my question. I definitely think what we're going to do, look forward to next week, because we're going to take some of these questions. We're going to play them here on the show for you. If you want to leave your own question, head over to Twitter, Checkpoint XP, and make sure that you drop it there.
And that's for the giant vampire lady, the 9-foot
yes,
tall vampire lady.
In case anyone isn't sure who Lady D is from Resident Evil 4, she is the mommy vampire that everyone has fallen in love with.
I'm very familiar with her work. Well, that will do it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening to us on your radio station. Special thank you to Tammy from Tucson, Arizona. Make sure you head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Check out the Checkpoint Daily. That's where you can hear the latest in video game news breaking that day. I'm going to send a big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. That's at Checkpoint XP. You can also find us on Instagram. That's Checkpoint_XP. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the show, and we'll talk to you again on the next level. Hey, it's James from Checkpoint XP. Now, you haven't been grinding solo queue for nothing. You're good enough for a varsity esports team, but you don't know where to look. That's where Looking For a Group comes in. It's a directory of every college esports program in the country. Programs, scholarships, whether you're a varsity player or looking for a recreational team, Looking For a Group has everything. Head to lfgroup.gg, find the college esports community that's right for you.
Hey, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint on Campus, the number one resource for college esports. If you're looking for a show that can give you all the latest news for the college scene of esports, look no further. If you're a graduate and you want to see how your alma mater is doing, well, we got the information for you. Whether it's the folding of TESPA or the latest scores and highlights, make sure you tune in to Checkpoint on Campus. That's on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.